For some reason, the combination of a navy blue sport jacket and khaki pants makes me actually angry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love that we've never been on a date where someone has been more focused on anagrams than the date. It's me. Hi, I'm Bethany. It's me. With me, as always, is Michaelanne. Michaelanne, how's it going?
It's going so well. It's been so long since I saw you last.
I know, it's been forever.
we are recording these episodes very close together.
Yeah.
Very close.
Yeah. So that was a little inside joke for the two of us because we just saw each other. We did a quick outfit change. We're here. It's a whole new week for you. Time has passed for y'all and for future us. But for current us, like, no time has passed. So, hello, everyone. Yes, we are here to discuss chapters 11 and 12 of I almost said of Once and For All. That's right. But it's
that's so, right. That's right.
Yeah, I was doubting myself there for a minute. Yes, we were discussing Once and For All today. And we would like to start this episode like we have started every episode of Once and For All, reminding you, trigger warning, that this book does include a school shooting and obviously death, you know, gun violence, whatever. It's not super graphic, obviously, about it, but it is there. It is referenced in passing. So take care of yourselves first and foremost. If that's something that you can't handle, we totally understand. On a lighter note, watch us on YouTube. Michaelanne is wearing a really cute watermelon necklace today. Michaelanne, would you like to show off your necklace?
That's
something. And also, she's making a great face. That's something that you can only see if you're watching us on YouTube. If you're an audio listener only, you're having to envision what that cute necklace looks like. That's why you should watch us on YouTube for that and many other reasons. And watch us on YouTube, like, comment, leave us reviews. We promise we won't get in our heads about it like we did last episode. We got in our head about a review, a two-star review that was left. We'll be fine about it. We'll be cool. We're cool girls. We are not, but
anyways. I do prefer a bad review with comments because I would
agreed.
Like to know.
Yes, because I like to know what it is. We like a little constructive criticism for sure. So I like praise more, obviously, because I'm human. But if you're going to leave us a bad review, let us know why. Even if it is that my voice is annoying. Trust me, I already know.
Girl, you have to put a dollar in the I'm sorry jar every single time you insult your own voice.
Okay, fair. That one lady who I talked to who tried to get my internet working again for me complimented my voice multiple times, which is the only time that has ever happened to me in my life.
Aww.
I loved her. And if I wasn't married, I probably would have married her for that, honestly, because I was like, this is so nice of you.
Honestly?
It was so nice. But alas, here we are. We have some good chapters to dive into. We probably are going to go on less tangents as we record. Well, we'll get into tangents throughout the episode still, I'm sure. But at the beginning, because we have just talked to each other, so we don't really have much off the top of the episode to discuss. So we can dive right on in, which is great news probably for you as the listener slash viewer.
Slash Nikki.
Nikki's going to love the new us. New year, new us. We're in the middle of the year. But, you know, that's fine.
I'm sorry, Nikki. We're not shitting on you. We're shitting on ourselves, really.
Yeah, to be totally clear, Nikki, you were not the problem. Like, it's finally, we are making fun of ourselves. Yes. But anyways, quick recap. Again, our main character is this lovely girl named Luna. Not to be confused with my adorable dog, who is also named Luna. And spelt different. And she is going through it because she lost the first love of her life, Ethan, who she shared this one magical evening with. And she happens to work for her mother's wedding planning. There's a guy that she has to work with this summer because of a whole deal with his sister's getting married. His mother got married. Anyways, our boy Ambrose, you know him. You love him. We might hate him in real life, as we discussed in a previous episode.
Might.
And we might. But in a book form, he's adorable. But anywho, he's reading her like a book. He's a bit of a nuisance. He's a bit of a hot mess, but he's a good dude. And yes, she's got a friend named Jilly. William is her mom's best friend, also works for this wedding planning business. Those are pretty much all your heavy hitters, the people you need to know. That's what you missed on Glee. Chapter 11. Let's dive right on into it, shall we?
Let's do it. Okay. She said, it opens with, if you'd asked me, it was only a matter of time before something like this happened. But of course, nobody had asked me. A woman or a girl, I don't know, a young adult woman walks into the, I almost said the retail plate. Oh my God. This is not the one with the vacation homes. This is the one.
No, yeah.
Yes, this is the wedding. So she walks into the wedding office and she is like, is Ambrose here? She's a very pretty girl, button down shirt. Her red hair is in a headband. And she has a picnic basket in one arm.
Oh, girly pop.
She says, no, he's at lunch. And she's like, oh, I texted him and he said he was in a meeting. And she just kind of like, she's like, I'm, she's like, okay. And she's like, well, I guess you can do sandwiches for dinner too, right? And Luna is like, I'm not interested in this conversation. Like, I don't want to be here for this, to be quite honest. But the girl keeps talking to her. She's like, is it okay if I leave a quick note for him? Thought I heard Willow trying to get in here.
I think I hear my dog doing something. I think she's just eating, but like there's like a weird noise I keep hearing.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
I think she's okay. I don't know. She'll come find me if she needs me. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so Luna's trying to do a table arrangement, which is absolutely the worst part.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I gotta stop flashing back to my own wedding. Okay.
Sorry, everyone. When there's wedding stuff going on in these books, it's just inevitable that we're gonna talk about our wedding planning. Yeah. Is so stressful. It's so stressful. It's truly a bad.
I tried to put, my tables were awkward amounts. So I had strangers, like one stranger sitting with a group of people who knew each other. And it was just like, I didn't know what else to do. But anyway, pish posh on my wedding. They're saying too many tables at this wedding. And the girl's like, can you give him this note? That would be great. And she puts it on the desk and she's like, sure thing. And then the girl leaves. She continues working on the table assignments, all well aware of the folded note nearby that said Ambrose written on the top in a curling girlish hand. She said, I had the oddest urge to open and read it, although I had no idea why. His love life was none of my business.
Girl, we all know why.
Also, I would have read it.
Yeah, I'm so nosy. I would have read it. I would have been like,
I would have read it.
I'm reading this.
Yeah. It like it's not like it's his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Exactly. But she's like, it's annoying to have to run interference for him while he's off having lunch and I'm still working. Okay, sure. But she says that being said, she has to admit that Ambrose is actually a good coworker. He does have a tendency to break things. Stapler tape measure had the same fate as the tape dispenser from an earlier chapter. And she admits here that he is funny. She's like, I have to bite back my own laughs as he prattles on about his various misadventures. Like perhaps scheduling two lunches at once. So 20 minutes later, she's like, all right, time for my lunch. She is walking over to the coffee shop for an egg salad bagel. Gross. And phone lady is there talking about how she's a cancer survivor. Four squamous cells in 2 years, scraped off my shoulders and back, and I still managed to pay my rent and bills. Well, good for you.
Yeah, congrats, lady.
Yeah, not everyone can do that. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Then phone lady continues on. She's talking about how she has a tenant and she's a good landlord and yada, yada, yada. I have my rights as a landlord. I'm going to evict him, basically. Which is like, okay, so you are kind of like a piece of shit. Yeah. To be clear. So she is like, I want to get away from phone lady because phone lady is talking about sad stuff and self-pity. And she's like, I just don't want to listen to this. But luckily, the line moves very fast and she gets her stuff and she leaves. Phone lady has joined a dating website. I would like to see phone lady on a date at the coffee shop.
Yes. Yeah.
Dropped her. That would be fun.
I need that in my life.
She plans to bring her food back to the office and eat, but on the way back, she sees Ira tied up by a bench in a shady spot right next to the stationery store, a blue bandana around his neck. The stationery store is owned by Emily and Florence, who are huge animal lovers and probably lesbians, let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, not a stereotype here, but I was like, are they lesbians? Are they together? Yeah. It was my first thought.
Yep. I was like, I actually thought it did say in here that they were married. And now I'm realizing.
It's just that two girl knew that they liked animals and we both just assumed.
Oh, God. So she sits down. She's wagging. He's wagging his tail. She's like, giving him love, giving him some water. His bowl is a custom bowl with his name on it. And she says, obviously, a girl bought this for Ambrose. He makes women like really fall in love with him, like within
so
moments.
So quickly. Like, what is this spell that he casts over them, truly?
Yeah, so then she the dog has a little bit of water and then does a little circle and lays down on her feet, his head on her shoe. And she says, again, I'm not a dog person or an animal person, but it seemed rude to move. So I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's not into dogs. She doesn't let just like love, she's not into Ambrose.
Let love into your heart, Luna.
Yes. You won't regret it. Yes. Let love in, girl. You deserve it.
You deserve it. Then her phone rings. It is Jilly. She answers. Jilly is obviously watching all of her siblings who are screaming in the background. Finally, she is able to talk to her. And she is, she's like, okay, I left it with Devin that we'd meet him and his buddy tonight a la carte for dinner. And Luna's not into this. She's like, who is Devin? And she's like, it's the mock UN guy. He has a dinner jacket. Apparently, Jilly is a sucker for sports jackets.
Yeah.
Okay, girl.
If that's what does it for you. I mean, sure. I don't know. To each their own.
To each their own. For some reason, the combination of a navy blue sport jacket and khaki pants makes me actually angry. I should probably explore that. But
there might be something there. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think it's like because there's a certain man that wears that's like his uniform. You know what I mean? And so that obviously I'm already like associating who you are as a person just by wearing that. And that might be unfair to some men. I'm sure some of them aren't what I think they are, but don't wear that then, because that's what I'm thinking you are.
Men are guilty until proven innocent, in my opinion.
Yeah, always.
Sorry, men. Not sorry.
Sorry. Okay. I was gonna say sorry, not sorry.
So they're going to go tonight. She's like, I don't really want to go to a dinner with strangers. And she's like, you don't want to do anything with anyone. And she's like, what happened to making memories? And she's like, this is the last summer before we get for you to get used to meeting guys again. So she's kind of like helping her out. She's like, I just want you to kind of like get back out there a little bit this summer with random guys so that when you go to college, you're not like, ah!
Yeah. She's like, you're, let's go out with some duds. So that way when you go to college and can hopefully, find a non-dud.
Yes. So she, what's her name? Jilly is kind of talking like, you have to date numbers. Like, you got really lucky with Ethan. You hit the lottery on your first shot, but normally it takes a few tries. So, like, you kind of just have to go on shitty dates. So that kind of is what it is. And
I don't believe in that theory, first of all. I know a lot of people do, and they're just like, oh, what's it hurt or whatever. But, like, I'm never going on a date with someone if I think it's going to be a shitty date. But,
Right. Agreed. I've also never had a friend be like, my boyfriend has a friend for you.
Like set up like obviously I feel like it's a very common thing in like books and movies. I've never experienced this, not to say that this doesn't happen to people in their real lives, but I was like, that's not a thing. Yeah. Like again, in high school, it's different because you kind of have like a group of friends and like,
yeah,
one of them might start dating the other and then you end up kind of hooking up with the other one or whatever. That's like a different thing. But like actually having a friend be like, hey, I know this person. They're the person I'm dating. Do you want to go on a double date, like a double blind date? Like I've never experienced that in my life. So if you have, let us know. I want to know what that experience was.
Yes. Like. Drop a comment. Let us know.
Something that is not true to my life experience. So I'm intrigued by it.
Yes. Nobody has tried to set me up since I was like 16, probably because I am strange. So it takes a specific kind of man and not a very specific type of woman. I'm basically any woman is I'll fall in love with you. It's fine.
You're like, men, I need you to be very, there are ground rules. And you're like, female, does she have a pulse? She'll do.
I will be interested in dating her. I will be interested. But men, they have to work for it, really.
Yeah. Deservedly so.
And Andrew did work for it. And he's the best. Okay. We're in love. Okay, yeah. So she's like, you have to do it if you had to go on shitty dates in order to find a good guy. She's like, I've actually laid eyes on him. His name is Tyler, and he also had a sport coat. Good for him. She, like, Luna doesn't give a shit at all. She's like, I see formal wear, like, all the time. This is my job. So she's like, okay, I'll see you at 7:30. She's like, I pictured rolling dice, slowly warming to the idea of aiming to gather losses rather than worrying about winning. If I really was a cynical girl, then this was my kryptonite. Okay, I'll see you at 7:30. And she gets really excited and she's like, all right, that's my girl. Gotta go. Bye. Hangs up, goes back to being a parent to her siblings.
Facts.
Oh, I have a friend who told me about a friend, and I'm not going to use names just in case. But I have a friend who told me about a friend whose brother is expecting his 9th child.
Oh, wow. Okay.
9 children.
9 children. That's a lot of kids. It's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids. And you know, like, the oldest 3 are just parents. Like,
parenting the other ones. Oh, 100%.
Like
The Duggar family were like the eldest ones were like literally assigned children. Like they would like talked about that proudly. Like, yeah, so I'm responsible for this one and this one. And I was like, you should be responsible for none of them. They're not your children. That's your sibling. Like that's this is all wrong. That's wrong.
I feel like people when they're like, I'm going to have kids, like that's kind of it. Like that's where it goes. Like that's all they're thinking. Like God wants me to procreate, so I'm gonna procreate.
Right, right.
But it's like, okay, well, let's think about like what that child's life is gonna be like. Have you, have you considered that? And of course there's people who, you know, nowadays, 2025, especially, it's not easy to get an abortion, if you can get one at all. So since we have so many laws up against that, I'm sure there are a lot of people who have a lot of kids who don't, who weren't really planning on having a lot of kids. And that's just because of, you know, laws, poverty, et cetera, et cetera. But this person is none of those things. He is just a Catholic rich guy and he's got nine kids. And I'm like, that is really a choice.
They're getting close to a full soccer team, which is something. That's really something.
And you know they're Catholic, so they're not using birth control, so they might have 10 kids, they might have 12. Like, who knows? When will
it end? It's never ending. And when she no longer can carry them, when her body hits menopause, I guess.
Also, like, hell of a woman to carry nine children and birth nine children. Holy shit.
You're like never not pregnant. And I just can't imagine that. Like living your most of your adulthood just carrying a baby like that.
Yes. Yes. I know.
That's a lot for me.
Yeah. I don't personally. It's like the concept of parenthood is like all people think about. They don't think about like the underlying situations.
Mm-hmm.
No critical thought. No critical thought in America at all anymore. Sadly. Anyway, so just as she is about to head out, the girl with the picnic basket starts walking towards her. And at the exact same time, Ambrose and Hajar are approaching from the other direction and they're holding hands. And her and Ira are in the middle and she's like, oh my God. And Ambrose doesn't realize that that other girl is there. What's her name? Jenna.
Jenna, yeah.
Doesn't notice that Jenna is there. So he's like, Ira! And then, like, goes over there. And then Basket Girl, a.k.a. Jenna, walks up and she's like, Ambrose? And he's like, oh my God, Jenna, you're here! And she's like, I brought you lunch, like we discussed last night. Where were you? So then Jenna and Hajar find out that he has been dating both of them and lying about it, which is pretty shitty. Ambrose.
Yeah.
This is where his like ability to give women like great attention is like actually, and this is when it gets negative.
A problem. Yeah.
Too much. Yeah. But yeah, they don't like that at all. He's lying to them. Here, Hajar like said, Jenna, well, did he tell you we were together this weekend? He went out to eat with my entire family. I wrote, oh shit.
Yeah, I was like, oh God, the family was involved.
Family.
Like, his whole thing is like, oh, like this isn't serious or casual, whatever. Like, there's nothing casual about going out to eat with a girl's entire family. My dude. No.
Boys are so dumb.
They're not the brightest bulbs.
Like, there's some situations Andrew will talk about like a past situationship he had, and he'll be like, I just don't really understand why she thought it was so serious. And then I like, repeat back like all the things he did, and I'm like, that's why.
That's why. That's like, actually why.
Oh my God. He's like, oh man. I'm like, yeah, dude. Like, no. Yeah. Anyway.
They're a special breed.
He wasn't an asshole. It was just like little things that I was like, well, then why did you go to her birthday party?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Come on. Stuff like that. Yeah. So they both of these women are like, basically, fuck you. You don't tell us the truth. This is gross. And Hajar throws her drink on him. And Jenna walks away as well. And
Ira sees this as a great opportunity for an ice cube treat. I like that he's like, yeah, my dad's busted right now, but that lady just threw free treats on the ground for me.
And I'll take them.
And I think that's adorable. And so true to how dogs are.
Yes, my dogs love ice cubes.
Love an ice cube.
So yeah, they leave, and Ambrose is like crunched in front of Ira, just scratching his ears. He appeared largely unaffected, as if this kind of thing happened all the time, which again, it's like, wait, Ambrose, what's going on?
Actually? What are you doing? Like, look at your life. Look at your choices.
Yes. Like, he's like, I believe in love and the fairy tale and all this stuff, but it's like, you don't really, because you're like just doing the beginnings over and over again, which is basically what he says. He's like, commitment doesn't really work for me. And she's like, well, maybe it's because you're always hanging out with girls, plural. And he was like, no, it's too serious. Everything gets like heavy. And then all the questions, where are you going? Who are you with? When will you be back? What's that glitter in your hair? And she's like, glitter? He's like, let me put it this way. You know that that feeling when you very first meet someone and there's a spark, that undeniable attraction, and everything about them seems new and interesting and perfect. And she's like, yes. She immediately thinks of Ethan, and she's like, yes. And he's like, it's the best. It's magic. So what if you could just do that all the time, every time? And she's like, but that's not substantial. Like, and really, like, Ambrose, you're just hurting people. You're hurting people.
Yeah.
That's why you don't do this. And he's like, but substantial is complicated. It's questions about glitter in your hair, or why you won't tag along shopping, or whether you find her friends annoying. Again, like, if you don't like the girl you're dating, then you shouldn't be dating her. Like, yeah,
don't date her. Like, if she's... Like, you're like, oh my God, this girl is just a pain in my ass. And I was like, okay, you don't have to date her then. Like, it's fine. Go with people you like. I don't, like, it's not that complicated. But yeah, him being like, oh, the beginning is magic. And it's just like, yeah, I guess, sort of. But you can, like, keep that magic alive. Like, it that doesn't have to, if you really find your match and you're really in love with someone, then it's, like, always magical. Like, I mean, there's, like, you know, exactly. Like different types of, like, not every day is sunshine and rainbows, but like, it's always, you're always, you know, going to have that magic or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, I think the little spark me and Andrew had at the beginning is just like, has just blossomed into like love, full life together. You know what I mean? Like, that little spark is nice, but its intention is to like grow, and then it becomes something that's like inexplainable, basically.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think this stuff, the years later stuff, is way better than the beginning stuff, personally.
Yes, because you're so comfortable.
Yes.
And like, you just, they see you at your ugliest, and they like, not ugliest like personality wise is what I mean, not like ugliest like visually. They see you like at your lowest points, and you know, like, you work through those things, and it's good.
And it's great.
I like it over here in married life.
be a married person. It's great. 10 out of 10. What a recommend.
10 out of 10. But anyway, this kid's 17, 18. So he's
So like, he's not thinking that way, you know, I guess.
Boys. And he's like, you know, it's, she's like, you don't want anything that lasts. And he's like, doesn't sound bad, does it? All the upsides of dating, none of the down. And it's like, none of the down for you. Again, for you. Because Jenna and Hajar just had a pretty bad fucking day. So, so he's like, whatever. Shirts can be washed. So then they head back over to the office. He's like, you think I'm terrible? And she's like, no, it's just not my way. Like, and then she's like, what's funny is Jilly was just saying that I need to be more like you. So then they start talking about how she needs to be going on more dates regardless of how she feels about the person. And he needs to, like, figure out how to be committed. So they basically set up this thing. Ambrose is like, I could definitely be committed if I wanted to. I could absolutely do it. And she's like, okay, really? You could really date only one person with an eye toward the long term starting right now? And he's like, yep, I could. Okay. Sure. so they make a little bet. And for a set period, I agree to date the way you do, multiple people, no commitment. At the same time, you find one girl and see her exclusively. We see who bows out first. Ambrose is like, oh, it'll be you. And they set the stakes. And basically, the stakes are whoever wins, the other person gets to decide who they're going on a date with or something like that.
Yes.
Which is like, low stakes, man. Give me ice cream.
Yeah, I was like, that's the stakes? As you like, are picking the next person that they date? Like, I can't be, I feel like it would be something, I don't know, juicier in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. Or like dinner or like anything else.
Yeah. What are you getting out of this?
But they're like, we just want to date each other and we don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
But she's like, you know, he's like, if I win, I get to decide who you go out with next. And it can be anybody. You can't dispute or refuse. No takesies, backsies. Because he still has these little like cute kid like phrases that he uses because he's a kid. But yeah, so they agree on this. And he's like, you think I can't do this? And it's only for 7 weeks. And she's like, yeah. And then after that, you're going to go back to dating the entire town. And he's like, and while you will be stuck with the person of my choosing, demanding the origin of the glitter in your hair. So that was very cute. She says, it's a rare thing for me lately or otherwise to feel going into something that I already had an edge. But this time I did. It was just dating, all beginnings, no endings. He was right. It did sound nice. And anyway, how hard could it be? How hard could it be?
Yep. Famous last words, girly pop. I do love a good little bet. I feel like this is, again, a very, like teenage coming of age trope to be like, yes, all right, let's make a bet. I've watched many a movie where a bet has been made. And, of course, it ends with the people falling in love. I'm here for it. Give it to me every time.
Same.
Always down for it, truly. Double dose. So I was like, okay, we're making a cutesy little bet. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. We're into this. Very cute. Very cute. The stakes have been raised.
Look at that. We finished the first chapter in 30 minutes.
We're really slaying it.
We did it.
Chapter 12, baby. Look at us. Baby. We're doing it. Okay. So we drop right into the middle, basically, of this date, which is not going well. They basically, Tyler and Devin in their sports coats are way more interested in this like anagram game that they're playing than being on this date. And Tyler literally, I would duck him in the face when he says this. You want to get in on this yet? Run with the big dogs. Oh my God. How pretentious are you? Like, how cool do you think and smart and intelligent do you think you are? I think I would have just been like, nah, I'm good. And I would have got up and left and made him pay for my food.
I guarantee that they were wearing blue sports coats with khaki pants.
With khaki pants, 100%.
Guarantee it.
100%. It's not specifically mentioned, but the next time we see our BFF Sarah, we're gonna ask her, and she'll be like, "Of course, it was."
Just gonna be like, blue sports coats, the most khaki random pants. Fucking question ever.
Like, we have to know Sarah. And she'll be like, I have no idea. Like, I wrote that book years ago. It's important to us. But yeah, yes. I guess. So she says, you know, they have just been, when they first arrived, she honestly thought it was kind of cute. She was like, oh, this is cute. Like, while they were waiting for us, they were doing this like little nerdy thing, because it sounds like Luna, like us, loves a little weirdo. And I also had been like, oh, that's cute. Like, look at them. But now that they've just been in it this entire time, it's not so cute anymore. So basically, at some point, Jilly is like, yeah, okay. Because they basically just keep like asking them again. They're like invested in it. And then they like remember that they're on a date. And they're like, you want to join? You want to jump in on this? And Jilly's like, yeah, we're going to the bathroom. So they go off to, you know, powder their nose. I like that this one that he did is a thigh bone groom tot. What? What do you
mean? I know. I was like, wait, why don't these make sense?
These are like, I don't even understand. I was like, that's not a thing. So confused, honestly, how this game works. Yeah, Jilly rushes Luna off to the bathroom to escape their duds of dates. And she's very apologetic. And she's like, listen, it was the sports coats. I got lost in the sports coats, you know? And she's like, yeah, they blinded you. And she's like, you know, I'm really sorry. Like, I finally convinced you to go on a real date, and I picked an absolute dud for you. And basically, Luna says, like, no, it's fine. Like, I actually kind of come up with this little side bet with Ambrose. So, like, this is good. Like, I'm down to date a couple of duds this summer. Like, I basically have to do it. Like, my pride is at stake now. And Jilly's like, okay, like, I finally got a wingman here. Like, this is nice. Someone helping me out, getting you out there. Like, all right. So basically they are like, okay, we're gonna go back out there. Like, this date is a dud, but let's just, you know, move past it. And Luna kind of says that if it was up to her, they'd go straight out there, but they do decide to go and, like, sit back down for a little bit. And then, I did like at the end of their bathroom conversation. Jilly is talking about, you know, like, her getting back out there, and she's like, I'm just, like, so sad that, like, you know, that this one, like, you know, you're wasting your time. I want you to have, like, big, perfect love. Like, I want you to have another Ethan or whatever. And Luna goes, I'm only 17. This is 7 weeks. The universe has plenty of time. And I was like, yes, thank you. Like, you are young. Yeah. At least she kind of understands that. Like, there's so much time for her to find her next big love. So she is all good for that. They get back to, like I said, to the table, and then the date basically goes ahead and wraps up, and she is surprised that he asked for her phone number, because she was like, I didn't even think that he had zero interest in this date. Like, he was too busy playing this game. You know, didn't think that they had any chemistry. But she says that, but Jilly was more right than I'd known. When you've only been found, you can't become a ruthless seeker just like that. So in the end, I gave it to him anyway. So she was like, oh my God, I never want to date with this guy. But she feels guilty and bad. And again, it's scary in the world being a woman going on a date. You don't know what's going to happen when you reject someone. So sometimes you're just like, yeah, of course, there's so much fun. Here's my phone number.
Yeah.
But yeah. So unfortunately, it'd be like that. Yep. So we flash forward to... she's talking to Ambrose basically about this date, and he's like, you know, seriously, anagrams, like, that's what they did. And she's like, yeah, it was really cutthroat. Like, they were really into it. And she's like, you know, he barely spoke to me the whole dinner, but then asked her for my number, which was weird. And Ambrose asked her, like, why he thinks that's weird. And she's like, and he says, you know, you're a hot girl and he loves word games, but I'm wondering is why you think it's weird. And so she says that she realized time to process being referred to as hot, which was a first, before answering. And she's like, why would he want to see me again? Like, when he showed no interest when I was right in front of him. But I was like, oh, she's all flustered. She's all flustered because Ambrose called her hot. Mike is messaging me things. What is he telling me right now? Okay, he's just being weird. I thought it was actually something important, but no. Okay. So anywho, he's like, he said he wasn't there, but if he was a betting man, I'd say he had no idea you didn't have a good time. And she's like, I think it was so obvious. And he's like, maybe to you, but guys in particular are oblivious. It's what makes dating so easy when you aren't that way. It's like having a secret power. Again, this man is astute. Even Ambrose, who's not the best at dating in a sense, because he's just made two lunch plans with two different people. But he is like, listen, guys are dumb. Like, he's like, he had no idea that you weren't interested. Like, he thinks that he's so smart and great, and he's making these great anagrams and whatever. And he probably was like, she was so impressed. She definitely wants to hang out with me again. It's like, no, dude, it was a dud of a date. So he says that, you know, this is his secret power. You know, he said, she's like, oh yeah, like, that's you, you're Superman. And he's like, no, but the bottom line is, all anyone wants from another person is their attention. It's so easy to give and counts for so much. It's stupid not to do it. And it's like, yes, this is, you know, kind of what I referred to in last episode for y'all, not that long ago for me, was that Ambrose, like, he's so right. Like, he does read people really well, and he understands that, like, at the end of the day, like, that is all anyone wants, right? Is to, like, feel like they're valued and to be paid attention to. And all he does is give these girls a little bit of attention and they fall for it every time, you know, hook, line, and sinker.
Which says a lot about society in general.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, the bar is, like, so low.
The fucking ground.
It's on the ground.
It's below sea level.
Below sea level. It's honestly so depressing. And so Luna's saying that, like, his, you know, secret power here might be the reason why he doesn't win this bet. Because, like, if you're giving attention to everyone, like, this girl who you're trying to date for 7 weeks, like, that might, you know, be a problem. And he's like, you know, I give attention. I don't have to flirt with them. Like, there are two completely different things. So then she kind of is asking him basically, like, you know, you need to get on it. Cause you know, the 7 weeks is ticking, my dude. Like, have you picked out your person? And, so they're at the coffee place when they're like having this little conversation when she's giving him an update and kind of bragging on him. And they get up to the counter, and the guy that they call Lumberjack Man is like, oh, I haven't, you know, seen you around in a little while. Like, instantly kind of perks up when she gets to the counter, and she's like, oh, I have someone to run the coffee for me now. Like, you know, gesturing to Ambrose, because she mentions, like, that's usually his gig now. But because they were getting coffee for more than just Mom and William and themselves, like, they were getting it for clients, she was sent to make sure it wasn't messed up, because, as we know, Ambrose is not the best sometimes at simple things like tape dispensers. Bless him for that. But she places the order. Lumberjack Man says, child's play. Like, you know, give me a real challenge. And she's like, oh, like, next time, I'm sure, like, I'll be more challenging. And he's like, yeah, you do that. And so she, of course, thinks nothing of it. And Ambrose immediately is like, excuse me, who's giving full attention now? Like, hello, like, that guy's definitely flirting with you. And she's like, I'm placing an order. Like, it's not a big deal. And he's like, oh, yeah, like, if that's what we're calling it. And so she's like, no, like, I believe we're talking about you. Like, you know, you don't want to get disqualified. Like, you need to find this girl. And he's like, oh, yeah, whatever. So basically, they're just talking about how, like, competitive they are. And she's, like, getting all, like, flustered because Ambrose is pointing out that Lumberjack is flirting with her. And basically Lumberjack is like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oops, my earbud just fell off. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to eavesdrop. Yes, you do, sir. Yes, you do. But it's cute. You try to play it off. And he's like, you know, occupational hazard. But, like, what's this? You guys got a bet about dating? And they're all like, oh, yeah, you know, kind of like explaining it a little bit to him. And Ambrose again is like 100% sending up Luna and embarrassing her. And he's like, she likes a man in plaid, which is so good. And she's like, please shut up. So she's like so embarrassed. He tells her the total, she pays, and he slips her a little napkin that has his number on it. And so it's like, oh, he's got a little thing, a little crushy crush. And so so Ambrose basically is just saying again, he's like, attention, like I said, means everything. And she says, everything was a lot to deal with, though, when you had gotten used to nothing. I needed increments, a few somethings, maybe an anything first. I looked down at the napkin, which as I was clutching in my hand, the neat black print, the number in blue ink. If I texted, how would he respond? If we spoke, what would his voice sound like on the other end of the line? Again, too familiar. I slid it into my back pocket and tried to do what I did best and forget. So, yes.
Yes. I also want to mention that when Leo gives, so, like, Ambrose seems like he's like, yeah, Leo, give her your number. You know?
Yeah.
But then he does give her his number.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Ambrose is like, nope, you can't date this guy. He can't know about the bet. That's a new rule. New rule. Can't know about the bet.
Yes, he does. He suddenly, she's like, that's not a rule. And he's like, new rule. Is he a little jealous? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is this the same that maybe Luna has been in regards to him and the people that he's seeing are feeling let down when you thought that he was going to give you flowers and you didn't get the flowers. He was giving them to a bridesmaid. I don't know. Maybe, maybe. And again, why are the two of you so interested in picking out who the other one sees? Is it because you want it to be you? I don't know. Just thoughts, just a hypothesis.
Just thinking.
Thoughts are happening.
I'm just asking questions.
I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions. I'm wearing a navy blue sport coat and khakis, and I'm just asking questions, guys.
I'm just asking questions. I have boat shoes on.
Yeah, boat shoes and on. I'm
drunk at noon.
A frat boy haircut, a little swishy swoosh Bama haircut, and I'm just asking questions, okay? That's all that it is. But yes, this was all in all kind of like lighter chapters in a weird way. I mean, again, sort of depressing because the bar is below sea level in dating. It's like, hey, give people attention and they'll like you. I mean, just common courtesy in life. Give people your full attention, like when it is warranted. Right. But yeah, kind of lighter, happier chapters. Again, we're getting like little sparks of Ambrose and Luna, maybe harboring some feelings for each other. Another weird thing that is kind of I noticed in these chapters that I've noticed in other Saradessa novels is there are always dogs like left outside, and they're not like in bad shape. Like it's always like in good places, whatever. Like they're left with a water bowl, blah blah. But in multiple books now, dogs are just like left outside places when their owner has to go somewhere. And I was like, this is another weird, like a loping walk. This is another like a Dessinism that I've started noticing as we've read more and more into her different novels, but.
I feel
I was always like, these poor doggos are just always outside.
I feel like the like places she's like Lakeview and Colby are both kind of like fantasy places where like the outside world really isn't. It's like they're in their own bubble. Exactly. So I can totally see how like in that world, people leaving their dogs outside is like normal.
Yeah.
But it's not normal in real life.
It's not normal in real life. Would I do it in real life? No, especially not in the middle of this god-awful heat wave we're having here in the Southeast. My poor puppy would be hot and miserable, and I'd be worried about her getting stolen. But yeah, I feel like in a town like Lakeview, which again is obviously very much, like you said, like a fantasy, it's like a safe, normal thing to do. Besides, Ira was right outside the lesbian store, and they would have for sure made sure that he was safe. So it's all good. But yeah, it's just funny to me that I was like, yeah, these dogs are always like being left places, just left outside. So interesting. Such an unfathomable thing to me in the real world that we live in. But yeah, y'all, look how like brief we are when like,
I know.
You know, like this was zippy. We are zippy. We are two zippy gals. No guarantees that that'll last. But I hope y'all enjoyed this nice, happy, short, zippy episode. Take care of yourselves. Take care of others in any way that you can. Last episode, my clan talked a little bit about helping support the people in Gaza that are going through a genocide. And I don't know, maybe it'd be nice at the end of every episode just to kind of shout out something. I was saying in the group text just a few days ago that like I'm very overwhelmed. Obviously everyone's overwhelmed, but I'm very overwhelmed because I try to like do what I can to help, but me as a single person, I like never know how to help, and these problems seem so big and massive and my little brain can't like find a way to be like, what can I do as one person? But of course, if we're all sitting around thinking like that, then nothing good happens, right? So I was like, well, let's start local on certain things. Like, I'm very concerned about immigration and not in the way the other side is, but in like people being stolen from their families and blah, 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 blah. Everything is making me just so sad and depressed about it. And we're, again, literally basically putting people into concentration camps in our Lord's year 2025 here in this country. And that's shitty. I think that goes without saying. So all of that was very overwhelming to me. And I was like, okay, but like, what can I do? Like I've tried contacting my, you know, like people in Congress, and my senators are actually both Democrats. So they're like as good as you can be, I guess, you know, like they're on the right side of this anywho. So I was like, okay, like they're whatever, I don't know what they're really doing, but I know that they at least agree with me. So I haven't really bothered contacting them. But I was like, but like, what can I do? Kind of like boots on the ground stuff. And so I just started looking up like local things to my state about, you know, like immigration rights and the ways you can help and volunteer and donate to the cause. And again, I'm not someone who has a lot of money, but I was like, hey, if I send a little bit of money their way, like that's, again, if everyone is doing that. So yeah, when it all seems like really big and overwhelming, like this big overwhelming problem, like try to make it a smaller, more attainable thing, I guess, problem.
Yeah.
And find like little ways you can help. And yeah, if we're all out there doing that, then hopefully that helps the big problem go away. But that's just my 2 cents drop of this episode. But yes, love yourselves, love each other, and help out people, you know, use the privilege that you have. Like obviously as a white person in this country, I'm afforded certain privileges and I'm trying to use them to help people that don't have those privileges. So if you happen to also have a privilege and you want to use it, rock on with that. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling now, but yeah, take care of yourselves is basically
take care of yourself.
This is the memo.
And others.
And others. All right. Well, thanks for coming and chatting with us and talking once and for all as per usual. We will chat with y'all real soon. Bye.
Bye.